from the inkwells of yore, to the digital screens of today, the kids present the comic book character of the month.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Thanks, Dungeon Master. Welcome back, kids, and thanks for listening to our continuing celebration all month long of the 50th anniversary of Dungeons and Dragons. And in today's episode, we are reviewing the story arc from D&D, The Forgotten Realms, Fallen Idols, issues number 15 through 18 of that classic Forgotten Realms series, which was published as a trade paperback by IDW. And here to help me review this story arc is Doc. Doc, how are you?
I am great today, Angus. How you doing?
I am very, very excited, Doc, because this is a very strong continuation of the Forgotten Realms series, coming right off of that Forgotten Realms annual. And what we have here, when we're just looking at the cover, it first says an Avatar story. Wait a second. That's a head scratcher. What does that mean? Forgotten Realms Against the Gods. Jeff Grubb, Rags Morales, and Dave Simons. So, hey, we've got the core team back together again, which is awesome, particularly coming off of that annual. I kind of missed Rags, but at the same time, I think Rags' story and artistic template was very, very well respected and revered, as it should be, because it was really strong. But what in the world do we mean by an Avatar story? So for some context, the Avatar series, originally the Avatar trilogy, is a series of Dungeons & Dragons fantasy novels in the Forgotten Realms setting, covering the event known as the Time of Troubles. Okay, the books were Shadowdale, came out in April of 89, Tantris, which came out in June of 89, Waterdeep, which came out in August of 89, Prince of Lies, came out in August of 1993, and then Crucible, the Trial of the Sirik the Mad, came out in 1998. But, you know, it was a trilogy, so those first three, Shadowdale by Scott Cianson, Tantris by Scott Cianson, and Waterdeep by Troy Denning, that's your core. And then you had these later novels that kind of tied in to, I guess, finish up story arcs. So the first three books work center on the remaining members of the Company of the Lynx and the search for the Tablets of Fate. And these are divine tablets that hold a listing of the gods and their roles in the balance of law and chaos during the Time of Troubles. The theft of these tablets was the actual cause of the Time of Troubles, as all the gods, with the exception of Helm, were cast to Toril, and fates and magic ran wild. The Company of Lynx, as it was, consisted of Calamor, Lionsbane, Aiden of Sion, Midnight, whose true name was Ariel Manx, and Sirik. The last two books in the series account for what occurred after the tablets were returned to Aal, including the aftermath of the ascension of several company members to godhood. And the role-playing modules, there was an original trilogy and its counterpart, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Adventure modules. Even though these three adventures did not aim to be precise retelling of the novels and could also be played individually instead of a sequence, these were written by Ed Greenwood. Okay, so there you go, the father of the Forgotten Realms. And the published adventures were Shadowdale, Tantris, and Waterdeep. The objective of this trilogy was to transition. This is the key part here. The objective of the trilogy was to transition the Forgotten Realms scenario, this setting, campaign setting, from the first to second edition AD&D rules, much as the Fate of Istis adventure did with the Greyhawk campaign setting. To accomplish this objective, the writing of the modules and novels was being done simultaneously, supposedly to allow their publication at the same time the core rules transitioned to the second edition. The final format of the three-part adventure would be more plot-driven than those of the previously traditional dungeon-crawling modules, but this would end up becoming more common in published material from there onwards. Okay, so Doc, there's your background as to why we have this an Avatar story. And now with that context, I think you can better understand the meaning or larger meaning, if you will, of this story and the start of this trilogy here with the first issue of Against the Gods.
Yeah, it definitely, reading, not knowing what you just talked about, it didn't take anything away, but it does give a little bit more meaning to it and explains a little bit more of what goes on in this issue of Possessions, which is, I think it's the first of, is it four issues?
Yeah.
Three issues or whatever, of an arc. Four. Oh, yeah, technically four, yeah.
15, 16, 17, oh, yeah. 18. Yep.
And 18. And, yeah, so it definitely does give a little bit more background in this, but it's it didn't take away from not knowing it, but, you know, always like to know more background and stuff, so, that really does help.
Exactly. And just a little encapsulation here, you've got The Time of Troubles Begins, so that's where we have this within this Forgotten Realms comic in issue number 15. The Realms Master is sent to Rethem, due to the astrolabe of Nimbril malfunctioning. There, the elven god Labilis Enereth takes possession of Fartan High Silvar, there, our sun elf and a member of the crew. And all chaos ensues from there. And this particular arc from Fallen Idols, this is the Fallen Idols story arc, is just absolutely spectacular. It's then followed by another very strong issue called Mad Gods and Paladins. And then it goes to Divine Rites, which is absolutely spectacular, and then finishes up with On Earth as It Is in Heaven. And that's part four of Fallen Idols. Every one of these issues, Doc, and the story arc, I thought was very, very strong, very easy to understand what was going on. And just like you said, although for a diehard TSR Dungeons & Dragons fan, having this Avatar story within the Forgotten Realms comic, that's a pretty big thing for us as readers. If you were coming in here uninitiated and reading this, I think you would get equal enjoyment out of it, because I just thought this was such a very tight story, and with one that had a lot of stakes to it. I mean, you've got a god taking possession of one of the crew members here of their Realms Master, and I just thought that that was a pretty cool premise here to kick off an entire story arc with.
Yeah, I agree. If Possessions was the first issue of this series that you read, I think you would be completely to it, and you wouldn't be lost. I mean, because there's not a whole lot of other than that of that Avatar background you gave. As far as the rest of this series, you don't really need to know anything else about what happened previously in this series. Of course, it would always, you know, you wouldn't get that, you don't have the background of the characters and how they interact with each other, but you would still, I think, really enjoy the overall story of this. And I think it would make you want to go back to the issue one and start reading it from then, because it's just that strong of an entry into it. It's like you said, it's just, you know, now we had dragons in one arc, and we had some, we got a lot of different kinds of cursed artifacts in other stories. And now we're getting the gods, and that's what's really cool about this. And I also like how it's just not cut. It's not so black and white. It's like, you know, this god that comes down, he's not always evil. He's not just straight up 100% evil. It's we have a nice scale of what's going on here. And as it go, we learn that he's, the body he's taking over is willfully doing so. And so it's a really interesting, and I think they really give some, a great balance of between this good and evil, and really, really just grab the reader really nicely on this. This is a great, great issue and great arc altogether.
Yeah, I agree with you, Doc. I got the impression with this particular god was the embodiment of what many of the gods within the Feywild are. And there's a bit of a chaotic nature to them, but and a willingness to use humans as pawns here, or humanoids, because again, this is an elven god coming down and basically doing their bidding. And from that standpoint, and the stakes being as high as they are within the story, it had me gripped and just drawn in. Now, I'm an easy mark for anything mythology-based. So anytime you're starting to get into the gods and the relationships and things of that nature, I'm in. So that from that standpoint, it appealed to me as a reader big time. And then as far as the art's concerned, I really, really, really thought that Rags came back strong with this. I mean, that opening panel where you have the short gentleman running for his life is Foxleon Cardlock, Taylor, sleight of hand artist, bon vivant. None of these talents is of use to him just now. So I even loved, you know, the bit of, you know, comedy that's thrown in there too by Jeff Grubb as the fallen idols and Avatar story possessions starts up. And there in that title page, you've got, and it's a 2-page title page centerfold kind of deal where Rags does a great job in Blue Shadow of having our members there of the Realms Master hiding in the shadows as they're seeing their friend run away with an artifact there, our Foxleon Cardlock. And I just thought, wow, that is some great stuff. And, you know, many a time a background can be just, you know, washed over by an artist, a solid color used, what have you. No, not Rags. That's not good enough. I mean, when they're in like cave dwellings, you see detail of the rock and the textures. When you get back onto the ship is exquisitely rendered. When you are, and the ship actually takes center stage here for the majority of this first story. And from that standpoint, it's spectacular. And then you start to get into some flashback and lore, and it's Rags just firing on all cylinders. That's all I've got to say. I thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly loved this story arc.
And I love too, at the after possessions and each of the other three issues in this arc, in like right after the title page, they kind of give a little tiny summary of what happened kind of like in the previous issue. So, yeah. Because remember, we back then, we wouldn't have the luxury of reading them all together unless we waited for them all to come out. So it was, you know, month by month. And so you might forget a little bit of the details. So they would just do a little, you know, just 3 to 5 sentences or something like that of a little summary of what happened in, you know, the previous issue, just to kind of bring you back, because I'm glad they do that too. I mean, obviously we didn't need to do that because we were reading it all together, but it probably helped, you know, get you back into the story. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. We have this god who may be evil and mad that's possessing one of our main characters. Let's go. Now what happens? So it's, yeah, I really like that aspect of it too. But yeah, you're absolutely right about Rags and his art. I mean, the art is just so amazing. It's, you can just feel how much fun he was having as he was drawing this, because he just goes crazy with it, but in a very like controlled chaos kind of way. And it just looks awesome. All the artwork in this, especially in this arc, but overall, fantastic.
Yeah, and Doc, another big highlight for me is the last page on issue 16 is a massive piece of poster art. It's not a dual page or centerfold type deal, but it is a one pager tour de force with these circle silhouettes of all of the crew members of the Realms Master within our possessed crew member there, and he is now, of course, with the god possessing him, and it is just so beautifully, beautifully rendered. I am blown away by the way in which this book leaves you wanting more. And the rendering there of Lebelus Anarith with his hand in the air and basically giving his soliloquy, and then this will continue, is one of the more powerful ways in which to leave the reader on a cliffhanger where you know, oh my gosh, I've got to get the next issue. This exactly. is really, really good. So that I thought was another very strong, entry here into the story arc.
Yeah, and one of my favorites was towards the end. I think it was the end of 16 Mad Gods and Paladins with the Minder story. How, you know, Minder, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to give anything away, but just the, how this moves forward with Minder is it's pretty spectacular, and it really a dynamic artwork to really accent and put an exclamation point on what happens at the end of that issue too. And it's fantastic. Yep, this is just a really well thought out story. They end each issue with such a great little, for lack of a better word, cliffhanger. It really, really gets you, like you just mentioned, you cannot wait for the next issue to come out. And I'm so glad we didn't have to wait, because I would have not enjoyed that, having to wait 30 days for the next for the next issue of it. So it's just a spectacular issue all around, and it will definitely grab readers, and it's just one fun read.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight. Or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.